Ladies and gentlemen, you've seen him all over your television, all over the place, and the Sarah Silverman Show, all these things that you've been. You've been part of just about every show in the past, what, let's say 25 years, just to make it sound like the silver anniversary.
Nice.
All right. It's Brian Posehn, everybody. It's Stand Up Live this weekend, 480-719-6100 if you want to go, at Brian Posehn on Twitter, and of course, brianposehn.com. Today through Sunday night, and it's Memorial Day weekend, you get to have the whole, everybody's all flipped out. They're having a great Sunday night. Shows will be the best ones.
Should be fun.
Yeah, it should be a blast. You are a rock and roll comedian.
Sure.
You're known for it.
Right.
You have
I'm a comedian who loves rock and roll.
Right. Yeah, you have the connection to rock bands and all this other
stuff.
Yeah, Do you have, because last night I went to go see the band Highly Suspect, who I've been a huge fan of. There was an interview opportunity beforehand management wanted to do, and I was going to do it, and then they started to throw all these rules in. I'm like, nah, this is dumb. I'm not going to do it. Kind of got the whole, like, I'm not going to do video. I'm not going to do pictures. It's got to be like 2 minutes. I'm like, nah, this is dumb. I'm not doing it. And then a couple other times you're supposed to come in, and it's like he doesn't get up in the morning. Is there a advice that you would give someone who wants to meet their rock? Because you've met a lot of your heroes, right?
Right.
And have any of them been like, uh-oh, I shouldn't have met him?
Oh, well, most of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to notice.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do because I really like this band, but I don't want this guy to be a douche.
The guy's 24.
Yeah, he's 24, and he's kind of a douche now.
Oh, really?
I'm thinking maybe. I don't know. I don't want that to be the case.
I mean, there's a reason I do stand-up comedy, and because I was going to be a reporter. I wanted to work for Rolling Stone. I wanted to work for Spin Magazine. I wanted to interview bands, and I interviewed Fishbone at like age 20.
Right.
And I went, oh, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, well, that's a tough first one.
They were jerks.
But Fishbone was he was mental disorder.
Well, I didn't know that then. I didn't know that in 1985. Right. That came out later.
Yeah, he went loony
back,
right?
I went back to my college, my journalism teacher, and he was also, leader of the school paper, and I went to, I go, I don't have this article. Stayed on the bus with Fishbone last night and got to meet him, got to talk to him. I've got nothing.
Yeah, I hate
it. Was useless, and now I don't like that band anymore.
Right, and that's what I don't want to happen. Yeah.
They're the reason I do stand-up comedy, Fishbone, pretty much.
Well, thank you, Fishbone.
If you don't like what I do, blame Fishbone.
Right, but do you remember the interview? You probably prepped for it.
One of the things where, and I've always been like a cynical, sarcastic guy, so when somebody does that to me, I'm always like, okay, I see where this is going.
Right.
Like, I asked the guy, I go, who was your biggest idol? And he goes, Bugs Bunny. And I was like, all right.
We're on a bad road here.
We're done.
But that's very possible.
You don't want to be doing this, clearly.
Unfortunately, you didn't know he had a mental disorder.
No.
That could have actually been a real answer.
Right, right.
He might not have been being cynical or weird. Bugs Bunny might have been his biggest
influence. Just being a smartass.
Yeah, he's not. He was just sick.
He really loves Bugs Bunny.
You should have paid more attention. Could have diagnosed him on the spot.
Could have.
But no, you were in it for yourself, you selfish bastard. Yeah, it's such a weird thing because there's so many times that – you obviously get to meet a bunch of people that you admire, and then we do the same, and you walk away like, I don't want that guy to be a dick. I don't want that to happen.
Half of my experiences are ones where I'm just like, and then most of it's me sometimes because I just shouldn't meet my heroes because I get so nervous around them. I met Geddy Lee a year and a half ago, and I called him sir, and I just like I look back on it like everything about it. I was just the awkward old fan,
and then your mind, I know I'm going to say something wrong. I'm going to say
and then you think about it forever. Like there was a million right things I could have said, and I said the absolute wrong thing. Like, and I was even there, like. A buddy had gotten me backstage at Rush. All I had to do was mention, hey, Mike Smith got me in here.
Right.
That's it. And they would have gone, oh, cool.
Right.
But I didn't do that. The one thing I could have said to get them on my side, instead I was just like to Alex Lifeson, I was like, you're amazing.
I love you, man.
Yeah. And I called Getty, sir. Such a pleasure to meet you, sir. Like, I don't even talk like that.
And they dismissed you quickly, and there you are standing backstage like an idiot.
Yeah, and then I've got the photo for the rest of my life, but the photo of those two guys going, oh.
Yeah, not wanting anything to do with you.
I'm surprised.
Exactly.
They didn't know who you were necessarily.
I got the feeling from Alex that I did, but I never like to assume that anybody knows who I am. Like, people go, even on the street, if people go, where do I know you from? I'm always like, it could be anything.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
maybe
relative.
The Starbucks you go to.
Right.
I don't know.
And the strange thing about being Brian Posehn is you have a unique look. So they're thinking this is either Brian Posehn or a lunatic that looks like Brian Posehn.
Right. Gandalf.
Yeah, there's no real middle ground there.
Well, they're at Rush. There's probably a lot of dudes that look like me.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Just at Comic-Con, the same kind of thing.
They're big, coming dressed
big, hairy
as you.
Dudes. No, not on purpose. They're just born looking like me.
Now, have you had a chance to go back and make good with Rush, or is that the only
one? Not yet. That's the one that I really...
Do you want to?
Oh, I'd love to meet them again. Yeah. And
start over.
Anything top the sir thing on a
Well,
meeting
yeah.
Someone?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about it in my stand-up act. James Hetfield was the kind of the meanest, and there's
really?
A two-part story to it. So we were 16... Me and a couple of buddies, and this is at the beginning of Metallica, so they weren't even huge yet.
Right.
But they were big in the Bay Area where I grew up.
Sure.
So, and, you know, they were our heroes. And so we go to the show, and we had just missed their SF show two nights before, but we're in SF to see Accept. And and they're backstage, or not backstage, but they're hanging out, and Cliff's there. It's the whole, you know, it's
right.
Metallica, 1985, 1986. And I go up to him. And my buddies are both growing. We're all growing our hair.
Right.
I have like a brand new denim jacket. Just, I wasn't a poser, but I looked like a poser.
Yeah. You were just starting the lifestyle.
Yeah, right. And my mom had just said, okay, you can grow your hair. So I was just starting to grow.
So you looked
it
a little bit
half
like
hair.
You're like the jack of clubs kind of hair and the shoulder length bob.
It might have been permed. Anyway.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Because I had flat hair. It's like, well, perm it to grow it out. Yeah. No, maybe. And so I said to James Hetfield, I go, hey, my friends are starting this band. What should they call them? Or what should we call them? And he looked at the three of us and he goes, almost.
Oh.
And then, like, Cliff's laughing and we're just like, oh, man.
Your dreams have been dashed.
Yeah, and we walk away. So later, this is probably 15 years ago, I made friends with.
Sure.
So there are heroes that I've met, like I met Scott Ian, and now he's a pal, and you know, and I'm writing music with him and that kind of stuff. So we're backstage at this Metallica thing, and he goes, tell James the story, tell James the story. And James is still drinking at the time, and so I'm giving him that excuse. So I go up to him, and I tell the whole story just like that. I go, and he just looks at me and goes, ah. That sounds like me. And then he walked away.
Oh, he wanted nothing to do with you again.
Thanks
it's you.
For the story.
At that point, it's you.
Yeah,
it's not even
Hetfield.
The circle
stays unbroken.
Now, are you pals with him now? Can you, like, no?
I'm friends with Kirk, but
not James.
Yeah, not James.
Do you want to be? Or is
kind
it
of.
Has he burned that bridge, Brian?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you should tell him. Do you know I'm Brian Posehn? You can't talk to me like
well,
this.
Well, the thing I said when I told this, I told that story once on stage, but I was like, and I want that story to end with, and I never listened to Metallica. Again,
right.
But instead, nope, I spent thousands of dollars on Metallica.
I followed them across the world.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing I am with this band. They're new. They've got two albums out. They're great. I really like them. But then last night, having done this stupid job for so long, and you start meeting rock stars, and you're like, man, Danzig's a dick. And you start walking around like, oh, no. And then the last thing you want is the ones you actually like that have brought you back into the fold of like, okay, I want to see their shows. I want to buy their stuff. I want to see what they're up to. And then you have access to them, and they kind of let you down. It's the worst, because I'm 44 years old. I don't have time to put up with that. If you're going to be a dick to me, I may just say, I'm never listening to your music again. I will, but I'm going to say it out loud, and I'm going to start bad-mouthing you because I have a forum, and that's not right either.
Right.
Yeah, it's rough. Yeah,
it's
so
the whole backstage thing.
They open a whole can of worms.
Yeah, are there any that you could meet that you're like, no, I'm not even going to do it? I got a couple of those.
No, that was Rush.
Yeah.
Rush was the one that I was like, I don't think this is ever going to happen. And then it just, a friend of mine hooked me up. But
which is incredible.
Because they're my all-time favorite band.
Yeah.
I got to meet like a lot of the big ones, you know, growing up with Ozzy, Dio, Judas Priest. I've met all those guys.
Yeah.
Those were big ones. I'm trying to think.
But nothing that just like intimidated you to the point
where
like, I don't
Halford,
want this
Halford. I haven't hung out with Halford. I hung out with Tipton and KK Downing, and that was amazing.
Cool. Yeah. What do you guys do when you hang out? Like, they like you.
Yeah, we
most
were
bands
backstage,
are
so we were just drinking.
Just drinking and goofing
talking.
Off.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you miss like mounds of cocaine and things like that backstage? It wasn't rock batter.
Yeah, it seems like
there's like kids back there now.
I don't know that I miss it.
Well, I mean, you know, you miss the after effects.
Right,
maybe not what it did to you, but you know. Yeah, but it's kind of the thing where it's like, man, backstage sucks now. There's children. There's a daycare. There's a lot of ladies that aren't doing things they should
not
be doing.
Not so much at a Judas Priest show. They were a lot older. I think it was time for them to soak their feet. And
they were doing Epsom baths.
Now there's prunes.
Wow.
Yeah,
I've been backstage now, and I'm like, the only ladies that are back there are serving fruits. And like, what's going on back here? Yeah, Danzig threw a big fit because his Perrier. Was it him with the Perrier?
We had to filter the water.
Yeah, the water had to be filtered.
It was it had to be in a glass bottle.
The cups couldn't be anything but glass. Danzig. He lost his mind on it.
So we just ran it through a coffee maker.
Yeah, I hear stories about that everywhere he goes, yeah. too. Like there was something in Austin a couple of years ago that he was mad about the tea that they served. Like, that is not metal, dude.
No.
And it was tea and coffee. Through his Fraulein manager.
Yeah, and she gets mad. And she's the one who voiced it. And then OTEP, which I loved her idea. Oh, she's but she comes over and she's so hard ass. Like, nothing bothers her. She threw a fit and threatened not to play because the Perrier was in plastic. Like, Perrier? I don't even want to know about your Perrier problems.
Yeah. So I was at a Comic-Con, and I go up to Glenn, and this is the first time I met him, and somebody introduced me to him, and he didn't seem that into it.
Right.
My buddy's like, hey, Glenn, this guy's a comedian. You know, he loves metal and blah, blah, blah. You got to take a picture together. So we're taking a picture, and a fan walks by and goes, hey, Glenn, you should stand on that – you should stand on that chair
because
Glenn is like half my size.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and you're a tall man.
He looked so mad. Oh, he wanted to climb up this guy and start stabbing him.
Gulliver.
You could have been Master Blaster.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah,
I should have thrown him. I should have done the fastball special. Just pick up Danzig and throw him at the guy. Get him, Glenn.
Shoot me. That would be great. Brian Posehn's at Stand Up Live this weekend. And, of course, Brian, I don't know if you know this, but the club owner, Joel, has decided during this interview that he wants me to mention that Sunday is Hamburger Day.
Okay. Nice.
Isn't that insulting to you, though?
No.
Like, if Brian, yes. Brian's not good enough, we're going to do a hamburger special.
It's also hamburgers.
Yeah, it's also hamburger special.
Special attraction.
Yeah, come for Posehn, but you know what? Ultimately, you're there for
the
meat.
Come for the hamburgers, for the Posehn.
Right, right. Why would he want me to say that? You tell Joel.
I'm going home Sunday.
Because Memorial's
and then we'll just
about grilling.
That's it. Yeah,
yeah.
Screw
I'll
it.
Fly home to LA and you can have hamburgers Sunday.
Put a hamburger behind that mic and see how much money you make, Joel. That's what I say. Yeah, people can eat. They got food all the time. What's going on in your life that's new and exciting?
Writing a book, doing a metal record.
Oh, really?
With Scott Ian.
So you're writing with Scott Ian.
I wrote. I write the lyrics, and Scott writes a lot of the music. And then Brendan Small from Metalocalypse wrote some songs with us. And guitar player for Anthrax, this guy Jonathan Danais, he's from Shadows Fall also.
Oh, wow. So you got
a lot of
load of
Yeah, and yeah. then I got like guys like Gary Holt from Slayer and Exodus. He did a solo for me. Alex from Testament. And dudes from Death Angel, all these old.
This is like a dream lineup.
Yeah,
so
it's pretty cool.
When you're doing it, where do you collaborate? Do you meet somewhere? Do you do it in the studio?
A buddy of mine, yeah. So I recorded with this producer before. I did not Metal by Numbers. The first song I did was with a different guy, but then More Metal Than You a couple years ago I did with this guy. And we had talked about doing a full metal record for a while, and so that's what this is. It's with Megaforce, which is this metal label I grew up with, and it's pretty surreal.
Yeah, that's got to be amazing.
Yeah, it's
I have a Scott Ian story too because on this show.
I hope he was nice.
It's great. Well, kind of. It's a great story.
It's
we're doing this show on September 2011, the 10th anniversary of not only this show but obviously
something
the other
else.
Thing. So it's right there.
Yeah.
So we did a big thing for the military. All got in free, and it was a huge show. And so band that we goof around and do stuff with, and we were going to do some stuff in the middle of the show, just kind of keep it going, and. That Scott Ian was supposed to play the national anthem. Well, we were told he's going to do it on stage with us. So my guitar player's like, I'm just going to go with him on this and do that. So we're standing on the side stage. My buddy Marty is the guitar player, and Scott Ian pops up, and he's got both of them from Antex. They're standing next. And, Marty turns to Scott Ian and says, by the way, we're in drop D. And Scott Ian looks at him and he goes, I don't give a f-. And he walked out and just started playing by himself. And Marty's standing there like he'd all rehearsed this thing. And he's like, I don't care. And nobody told Scott Ian that these idiots on stage were just going to stop. So I'm standing up there dressed like Uncle Sam, and he's just killing it with the other guy. And we're just like, oh, we're not involved. And why would we think we would be? Why would anyone think that the local idiot DJ band is going to play with Scott Ian?
Nobody talked to you?
No, I think it was a joke on us. Like, you guys stand up there and be stupid while Scott Ian actually does
Scott
what people are there
mean
for.
To you. Yeah,
no, he, yeah, he wasn't mean. He was exactly, he was 100% right. Right. Like, I don't care what tuning right. you're in.
Sounds
you
good.
Yeah. And we're like, yeah, good for you. You're never going to make it. Your band should be called Almost. Yeah. So it was pretty fun. But he seemed like he's a good dude. We actually talked to him afterwards. But he was like, I don't care. I'm like, that's rock star. Yeah. But there's no good rock stories anymore. Everybody's sober. And the groupies
are dying off. Yeah.
Or dying. Yeah. That's no good either. So you just don't know what to do. Like, the heroin adds so much, but then it kills everybody. And so the music's better when they're on drugs and when they're off drugs, but they're on heroin.
And decide to go back on. There's the problem.
I don't know where I stand on this. Kind of middle ground.
Pro-drug.
Yeah, I'm kind of pro-drug with my rock star.
Right.
In moderation.
Right.
Like, you know, I don't want them to come out
but
with their sober.
But most of your writing is sober.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's true. I mean, you look back on bands like Aerosmith,
that's
you know,
the
best stuff was the 70s stuff. And then, you know, when they were clean, it's unlistenable.
Unlistenable. Theme to Armageddon was what? Get that man a drink.
Yeah.
Get him some dog
Put a
medicine.
Needle in your arm.
Yeah, get him Remedil for hit this place. I don't care what it is. Get him a pill. Yeah, but
get
this
back in the saddle, man.
When I heard I don't want to close my eyes, I almost threw my face through
the
window.
They're the big example of continue to do drugs.
They're the ones that should present a danger to young bands on what it's like when you're off drugs.
Right.
Like, they should be the shining example of, like, look what happens when you stop doing drugs, kids. Yeah, because it's not as good. Nowhere near. What's your favorite sober band?
Sober
one that used to be, and they kept it together.
Oh, I don't know. Probably Metallica.
I think Metallica's probably the number one.
I think it's good that, you know, and I actually like them again. I love this last record.
Great record.
So good. Spit Out the Bone.
The whole album's
great.
Phenomenal. Yeah. The ones before a little bit.
That's one, and they, you know, they weren't great when he was drinking a ton. So.
No, at the end, it started getting a little weird. Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I guess they're probably the one to hold up as the we sobered up and kept it together. There aren't many.
No.
I can't think of many. Fishbone, maybe, to a certain extent. That guy got back
from
the insane asylum. And I remember they did Saturday Night Live or something after he'd come out of the facility.
Oh, wow, really?
And everybody was worried, and he killed it.
Right.
It's like, okay, that's pretty fun. But then he went bananas again, and the whole band quit. Yeah, you didn't like him at all.
No.
Did anything happen back there we should know?
That's so bad.
No.
He didn't, like, touch you, right?
No.
Okay, thank God.
No, it was just...
Let's accuse him
that
of it.
Enough. That, yeah. that
it
was enough. That was enough.
Soured the whole career.
Yeah.
To kill an entire career at such a young age.
Well, clearly I wasn't that driven to do it because, you know, if I was meant to do that, I would have been like, F him.
Yeah, you'd have
you
fought
know,
through it.
Yeah.
And there wasn't enough info to go in there with controlled expectations.
Right, now.
Like a mentor or someone that has done it before, like, listen.
Right.
Yeah. Some of these guys can be.
You're kind of right. One setback changed your course. That you weren't ready for that. That was
my teacher at the JC I went to in Sacramento. He had only like interviewed jazz guys, and so he didn't like warn me about stay away from the funk punk metal.
Yeah,
Fishbone's whatever.
Was
hybrid.
This for school?
Yeah.
I thought it was for an actual article for something.
Well, it was for school and the newspaper.
Oh,
so it
was. Okay.
I was getting graded in journalism, but then it was also for the American River College.
And did you? So you're going to the community college? Did you just quit school, or did you keep going and kind of?
No, I was gonna transfer to the state school, but I was already starting doing stand up, I said, well, I'm gonna do this, and quit college for a year and see how it goes.
Another side
of
it,
I didn't go back.
Yeah, you never. I mean, that's no point. It's not really helpful. The other side of it is you meet some of your heroes that, you know, you're like, oh, my God, I blew that or they sucked. What about the other side? Because I've met bands that I hated and they were so nice I ended up starting to like their
stuff.
Oh, that's
definitely happened. I was at a thing for another buddy, not to name drop, but it was a David Cross thing. And that's why they were there. But that band, The Strokes, was there.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I'm going up to everybody. And when I have a couple of drinks in me, I can –
You can tell the truth.
Yes.
You can go fishbone on some people.
I could be kind of nasty. And I was like, I think I said something about how they should be in a bus accident.
You killed them.
Kind of bad. And one of the guys overheard me.
Because you're a little loud.
Yeah. And then this is a long time ago. And then one of the guys goes, hey, man, I'm sure you don't like us, but like I'd been –
Right.
Bad mouthing them since the second I saw them. They were all nice. They all reached out. But I think it might have been part of like, this guy's being a D. I'm going to go up and
ruin
tell
it.
Him I'm a fan. And then, well, I don't know.
And do you like their music?
No, never. But but they were nice guys. Yeah.
Nothing's ever changed.
The Strokes are not making any music for me.
No.
They're not trying to make
but even still,
old grandpa metal. Like,
but their demeanor like their can stuff. Make you go, all right,
I
see it. Yeah, because I've had a couple of them where you meet them, like, I don't like this band. And then you meet them, you're like, you know what? Good for you. I hope you guys make it. And then I start listening, and I'm like, I don't really want to like them, but I do because I know them. It's rare.
Yeah, they're not going to win me over, but as people, I was like, okay, well, I can't be a total.
But you will not sell out and like them because they're decent human beings.
No way.
Musically. Even if they became best friends with you.
No.
So if you're with the Strokes, walked in right now, you'd tell them, I hate your music.
One of my closest friends. One of my favorite people in life is the guitar player for Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
And he knows that I cannot listen to his band and will not listen to his band. But we can be pals forever.
Yeah.
And
agree to disagree.
Our wives are best friends and we go on travel things together.
Does he still try?
No. He knows.
Even new stuff, he's like, Brian, you're going to like
this.
Before
we even met, my wife is like, I wasn't even there the first night my wife met the guy, Joe, from Fall Out Boy. And they were at this party, and my wife said to him, my husband hates your band so much.
Oh, man.
So before we even met, he was like,
you gotta meet
this
him.
Guy
you
hates
gotta meet
better.
Him.
That's actually better.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. For me, it put me in a good place, so I didn't even have to talk smack.
Right. You had already – it had been established.
Yeah. My wife had done it for me.
It was a baseline. Yeah. Well, that's actually really nice if your wife will go up and say, here's five things my husband hates about you, and you're just about to meet him.
Right.
Because now it's them. They have to – come up with new things to like. They can't rest on their laurels.
He was so nervous that first time, and I didn't even know why, but it was because my wife had played me up so bad. You know, like,
she threw the card.
She hates you guys.
But what's interesting is maybe there's, you became friends because maybe there's a lot of music that you like, that you both like similar.
Oh, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. And then so that's made me go, well, he can't be that bad because he likes all these bands. Well, now we're actually friends, but – that was the beginning was like we bonded over metal and punk bands and stuff.
Yeah,
and you'd listen to Fall Out Boy and you're like, I don't hear
any of
Pantera in that at all, but he likes Pantera, so we bonded.
It's really strange how that you're like your mind, but I'm proud of you. Your mindset doesn't change at all. I'm proud of you. I really am. I'm proud
15-year-old metalhead still mad.
Because that's the thing is that you never let it go.
No.
And there's nothing wrong with that. No. There's something weird about the way rock music works that it becomes tribal too.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, I mean, there's a broken down into 40 different areas, and you like this, you're an idiot, you like this, you're not.
Right.
But we do, and
it's
we have our favorites.
It's growth a little bit from expanding.
Well, it's hard to say to like, if I were to just, we were just hanging out, and I said to you, I'm like, I really like Fall Out Boy. We're automatically,
we
could be having the time of our lives. That's going to be a contentious moment.
Well, right. But I like that. I like that you judge people based on
I like
I
judging people.
No, it's not
But
even
mainly
that.
By race.
Yeah.
That's my favorite way. It's easier. The less communication, you know. Yeah, no, it's true. It's like you have to judge people by their likes and dislikes. But it can ruin things. It can
right,
be a
absolutely.
Deal breaker for somebody
yeah, yeah.
if you like the wrong rock.
Right.
Like if I came up to you and said, dude, Hoobastank, you got to give it to me. You'd be like, okay, I don't want to hang
we'll
out with
him. We'll
never
be friends.
We cannot be friends. I thought I liked him. We cannot be friends. Yeah, it's weird.
It's definitely that big of a deal breaker for me.
Is it? Have you ever dissolved a friendship over music?
Over a band? Not really, no, because most of my fellow comics don't listen to the same stuff that I do, so it's always been kind of a disconnect where we don't really talk about music.
Do they try to introduce
but,
you to
well,
this
I'll stuff? Yeah, I have had guys go – I remember David Cross, I keep bringing him into it, but he was like, hey, man, you're really going to like this band, The Darkness, or you're really going to like Andrew W.K., and I didn't like either one of them, and part of it was because he thought I would like it. You
right.
Know? So,
so you went in with a chip.
Yeah, the mean metalhead kid.
But didn't
you don't know what I like.
You can't tell me to like what I'll find something else. The
and
Darkness.
That's the problem, though. That's with the metal, a lot of times guys are like, that chip.
Right.
Is you're no metal guy.
Yeah,
you know, they call each other out.
But you're not.
Right, yeah.
I think what Brian's saying is you're absolutely not.
Right.
Right.
And he's going to let you know that.
Well, that was that song. I did that song,
More Metal Than
You, which was about that conversation that I've had through life. I was 16 and there was a kid in my neighborhood who hated Metallica, the second record. Because he thought they sold out on Ride the Lightning.
What?
Yeah, I know, but there's always going to be in metal, right? Yeah,
that kid's not in a way.
Oh, he didn't make it through the 90s, dude.
Worst decisions ever. Oh, no way. Yeah, that guy walked into traffic. What a moron. Well, yeah, you can't be friends with that idiot.
No.
Yeah, and I remember those old, like, the friends that would introduce you to that stuff.
Right.
And, like, bring over the the new Metallica. And you, that kid is like part of the fabric of your life. Ryan Swick, who I never talked to at all, brought over Metallica's Master of Puppets and played it on my record player. And I will never forget Ryan Swick because
that
was.
I can't pull out this guy's last name.
Yeah. Well, I tried to stay friends with him. He was an absolute nut job. But I, like, he was like one of those kids, a 12 year old kid with a motorcycle. The most dangerous kid in the neighborhood, you know? And he brought the album over. We're listening to having fun. And the next thing you know, I'm in the back of this bike and we're headed right towards a fence because he's 12. He shouldn't be operating a vehicle. And I'm like, I can't hang out and die. I like the music he presents, but I don't want him over anymore. But nice. Ryan Swick lives with me forever because he brought that to me.
Right.
Which is weird, isn't it? The way it shapes us.
Yeah, but I got derailed earlier, but I think it's weirder when people leave it. Because, like, I have a friend, like, two of my best friends from high school, we were three metalhead kids together. One of them stayed into it, and he actually lives here in Phoenix, and I'm going to see him this weekend.
Oh, cool.
The other guy stopped listening to metal in, like, the late 80s, and like, we're still friends, but there's a part of me that is like, dude, what happened to you?
He died. He died a little.
Did he feel like he's grown out of it or something?
He did, yeah. And then I can't get my head around that. I'm like, well, wait, am I an idiot because I didn't grow out of this? Like,
have I grown? I still,
yeah.
Or has he grown?
Right.
Am I stagnant? Are either of these people named Ryan Swick by chance? Because I'd like to get
has he changed
with
to another type of music?
Well, yeah, he got specific. He got really into this one band, Red Cross, and then like got into like poppy that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't be friends with that guy that much.
No,
you can
have lunch with him. Yeah. We're still friends, but I'm always like, yeah, dude, really? Michael Schenker doesn't mean anything to you anymore?
It was all
BS. The stuff we liked. First Motley record, really, dude? Nothing?
You're done with it.
Yeah.
It formed who you are, and you're just abandoning it.
He was with me during the Metallica story. He was part of Almost.
He was in Almost. Yes. He was in the band. Yeah, well, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy because rock has kind of had its where do you consider the state of it today?
I don't know because I don't stay current. I mean, I like that bands that we've liked for all these years are still putting out good music. I mean, Anthrax and Metallica put great records out in the last couple of years. All those other bands that, you know, Death Angel, Testament. I still like all that
stuff.
Still
like the old stuff.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're losing touch? Like you're an old man or do you care?
I don't even care.
You don't care? Like you,
as long as you like it, you like it.
Do you ever try to find yourself searching out new stuff?
I do. I absolutely try to find new bands. And there's been stuff in the last couple of years like Huntress and
Did you say Red. Huntress?
Yes.
Okay, good. I've heard of them. What it sounded like you said was completely different.
You could never say on radio.
She's royalty.
Yeah.
I assumed it was Huntress.
Yeah.
But man, oh man, that's a brave band name.
Yeah, I like them a lot. Red Fang.
Red Fang's cool.
What are they called? Holy, God. There was a band out of L.A. that was doing kind of the thrashy things. So
okay.
I like any of that.
You like any of the old, It's kind of fun. I thought Darkness was the end of music. I really did. I thought there's absolutely no reason for anyone to hear another song.
And then they did a comeback last year, and I was just like, who wanted that?
Yeah, nobody wanted the
who
first
asked
one.
Who for the comeback?
How do you have a comeback when everybody hated your first appearance? It's your first appearance again. It's not a comeback.
It's like Scott Stapp doing a thing again.
Right. Nobody's
like,
asking for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like OJ's come back.
Go away.
Get the boys back.
It's time for you to go away. Yeah, I don't get that. Brian Posehn, Stand Up Live this weekend. Comedians of, what was that thing called? The Comedians of Comedy.
Yeah,
it was brilliant. Yeah, and it's always, everything you've done is always kind of unique and a little off center, and it's always been fun. That's why you and David Cross and the names that pop up at the same time are all these guys that we're not sure we get. We know you're funny, but we don't. You as people were like, do I understand that
they
particular?
Kinda.
Yeah, there's something not quite, like the bubble's off,
right?
Which I like. Stand Up Live, 480-719-6100, standuplive.com. Brian, leave us with words of wisdom. Anything you need to tell the people?
Listen to Nerd Poker. That's my podcast.
Nerd Poker.
Yeah, it's a D&D podcast.
It is. Mm-hmm. So you go full bore. I didn't know you did that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's crazy. So, you know, now we can't be friends. That's it for me.
D&D's
cut out. That's my
line. You've never played it then.
That's right.
It's fun.
All right. You know what I like doing instead?
What?
Having sex.
You're not married then.
I am, though. That's the crazy part. I didn't say with her. That's ridiculous. You're crazy. Brian Posehn, everybody. It's 98 KUPD.
Miss something? Download Holmberg's Morning Sickness podcast direct to your mobile device with the 98 KUPD app now.